Well, the chestnuts are roasting on the open fire, and we've made it to the end of 2020. And in the midst of this bleak midwinter here at Beacon Agency, we've hit pause on the Muppets Christmas Carol, put down the mince pies, and we thought we'd take a festive look back at 2020 and a look forward to 2021 and everything in store for the smart ho-ho home. I think that's more than enough Christmas puns for now. Welcome to part one of a special two-part festive edition of the Smart Life Podcast. Hello, and welcome to this festive edition of the Smart Life Podcast, brought to you by Beacon Agency. My name is Thomas Joy, and I am delighted to welcome a new co-presenter. Ruthie Pinion, Beacon Agency's content manager, is joining us for her first episode of the Smart Life Podcast, taking a look at all things smart home technology, IoT, and everything else. So Ruthie, welcome to the podcast episode, your first episode.
Oh, I'm so excited to be here. I've been looking forward to this for a long time, all 2 months of working here.
Well, it's wonderful to have you on board. And we're gonna have a bit of a festive look back. What a year it's been, Ruthie. What a year it's been.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, you've started with Beacon, which is very exciting. But around Beacon, the world has kind of gone to pot.
Has it? I hadn't noticed. Is 2020 over yet? Are we done now?
So. I mean, considering that we are now entering what feels like the 28th month of the year, it's about time that 2021 rolled around. But we are going to take a look back at some smart home highlights from the past year, because I think it has been a really interesting year for the industry, for the market, especially because I think that the definition of home and the time that people spend at home has changed so dramatically. And you've recently moved into your new place, haven't you?
Yeah, when we moved, I was really dead set on making as much of my home smart tech as possible, which is quite difficult when you're in a rented property. Mm. You can't put anything in the walls. You can't even fix the doorbell to the outside of your house. You have to use like sticky things rather than screws, which is not as safe as you want it to be. But yeah, my partner wasn't as sold on smart tech, and I was like, no, we're gonna have a smart speaker in every single room. I have these leftover plugs that I stole from my dad, and I've already ordered us a new smart doorbell, don't worry about it. And then I got this in the Black Friday sale to spy on the dog, don't question it, it's there now. And I think he's slowly becoming a convert. Occasionally he'll turn off the fairy lights with his voice, but that's about it.
Do you know what? One step at a time. When I first started putting smart speakers in the house and smart plugs and everything else like that, my partner was like, I kind of get it, but I don't see why it's any easier than, you know, switching off a light switch or unplugging a plug or anything like that. But actually I found that the more sort of automation that I've set up using like routines, putting that automation in place, even if it's quite simple, it becomes a lot more seamless, doesn't it?
Yeah, and plus, like, now I'm exploring it a lot more. My parents used it quite a lot while I was locking down at their place. So I've gotten kind of into the habit of just putting timers on. Fun fact, if anyone has a Google Home, I recommend that you put a timer on called Lasagna, because the noise for the alarm changes when it goes off. I won't spoil what it is, but I've never been more delighted than hearing the Lasagna alarm. It's wild.
I'm very curious now. I might just have to go out and get myself one just to find out what the noise is. Well, why not? It's Christmas. Now, we are going to hear throughout the episode from all of the guests that we've had on throughout season two of the Smart Life Podcast this year, who have all been very kind and been in contact with some lovely festive messages, and also a look forward to 2021 as well. Now, of course, 2021, like every year, is starting with a slightly different version, at least this year, of CES, the Consumer Electronics Show, normally held out over in Las Vegas. Now, Ruthie, as our new content manager and guardian of all things social, tell us a little bit about what Beacon's plans are to keep its fingers on the pulse of CES 2021.
I mean, the time difference is an absolute killer. So the conference will be starting, well, most of us in the UK will be fast asleep, but not the Beacon team, because we'll be up watching so that you don't have to. Giving you all the updates, the key things that you might have missed while you were getting your night shut eye, the key ones that you might want to watch on repeat on demand, or even the ones to look forward to the next day.
I think it's an absolute perfect use of our the Beacon team is a mixture of night owls and morning people. So I'm sure that a bit of team effort, but no, I think it's going to be really exciting. And you know, like we say, I think that going into this CES, certainly it feels like everyone, the opinion that the meaning of home has changed for so many people around the world. So I think it's going to be really exciting to see how manufacturers, designers, technologists, I suppose, are looking to solve the problems that really didn't even exist this time last year. Now we are going to hear from our first returning guest from 2020. Pete Gilbert from Romula Tech gave us a really fascinating episode earlier in the year, talking about everything from the changing nature of retail to how manufacturers are partnering with installers to make sure that consumers are happier and better set with their tech. So without further ado, we'll pass over to Pete for his look forward ahead to 2021.
Looking at the smart home trends for 2021, I think that we'll see an increase in the internet of behavior, AI tools detecting movement in the elderly and infirmed, heart rate monitors linked to medical insurance premiums, and even fridge usage linked to home shopping. Facial recognition, I think, will be a growth area, with door lock technology being an obvious application, and also the general increase in hub associated devices, security, lighting, heating, etc. And also the inevitable rise in electric vehicle charging technology. Linked to this, unfortunately, I think we'll see the continued COVID pressure on companies' installation resources and capability, which will mean more outsourcing to companies offering on-demand, managed and fully accountable models like Romula.
And our thanks, of course, to Pete for getting in touch with us. And a Merry Christmas to you, Pete. Really interesting couple of points that he's brought up there, Ruthie, don't you think? And I think the first one I'd really like to certainly talk about is that idea of electric vehicles, the nature of transport. You know, we've seen the whole market feel like it's shifted this year.
Yeah, didn't I see recently that they're trying to encourage the UK's fleet of cars to be entirely electric by 2030, or did I make that up?
I think it's they're banning the sale of fossil fuel engines in vehicles, I think, by 2030, although not in commercial vehicles, which I think they've recently, in the past couple of days before recording, slated for a 2040 ban on engines in commercial vehicles, but certainly in, you know, private cars and things like that. Petrol engines, diesel engines banned by 2030.
Not long, is it?
It really isn't. I mean, you think that we're already, you know, we're motoring ahead, you know, coming to the end of 2020, thank goodness. But we're motoring ahead, if you'll excuse the pun, you know, that's only 10 years, you know. It feels like somehow the transport market like did change significantly in the past decade. You know, we have moved a lot towards hybrid cars, towards electric cars. You know, nobody even heard of a Tesla 10 years ago, really. And I wonder, in terms of, you know, with everybody working from home now, no matter how smart cars get, you know, no matter how connected they are people going to be driving that much in the future? And if they are, is private vehicle ownership the best way to manage the UK's car network?
I mean, considering that most places are considering, at the very least, just going to a part-time in the office situation, if not fully putting their workforce at home or in kind of closer to home office situations like where we work and things like that, I'm not sure that people will be traveling as much.
Now, here's an interesting question, because I know that you are currently learning to drive. Now, we are both... sorry, I know that your test was postponed. But you were so close as well. But I think it's really interesting. We are both of the famed millennial generation, where, you know, we are shaking up the status quo and things like that. You know, private vehicle ownership for us, you know, personally, I lease my car, and I'm thinking at the moment in future, like, do I need a car? But B, you know, if I could have, for example, if I needed to get somewhere, if I could just do a really short term car rental, almost like an Uber, but without the driver, is that going to be a better, you know, is that what the market's going to be moving towards? You know, essentially having access to vehicles on a subscription model on demand, you know, would that, do you think that would suit the next generation of workers?
We see a lot of that in London, having just moved out of the capital. There's things like Zipcar, but this, for a city where you can't really own a car and it's really hard to drive around the city, those kind of models are really really quite popular. They even some adverts on the tube for things like, okay, you're going to a gig that's in Ali Pali, but you live in Brixton, hire a car, get you to Ali Pali, and then get a taxi back because you don't want to be driving. So obviously you've been drinking, safety first. It's not really feasible to own and maintain a car on top of climbing rents, because remember, we're not just renting and leasing cars, we're renting and leasing houses, we're renting and leasing phones, we're renting and leasing tech. Who can pay for anything up front anymore? Certainly not I. So moving towards just a shorter, as and when on demand, can have car for 2 days and then put it back, saves me a lot of money on my car payments.
Yeah, absolutely. And actually something that really interesting that came out of Pete's episode when he was talking to us earlier this year was talking about, you know, the infrastructure required to, if everyone's using plug-in either hybrids or even plug-in electric vehicles, the pressure and the stress on the national grid to charge all those vehicles, you know, is huge. Whereas actually, if you have a system of like a fleet management system whereby you are storing all these cars in one place where you only have to deliver, you know, when the national grid only has to deliver one piece of infrastructure to charge all of these cars. And then, you know, with self-driving technology and so on, you can literally, the car can drive itself to you, pick you up, and then when it's dropped you off, can go back into its home and charge. I think there's a potential there to save a huge amount of stress and burden on the consumers having, you know, electric vehicles parked outside and so on. But also, I mean, I'm thinking, you know, because of course, you know, we work from home, my car, I think this year I've maybe driven 100 miles. Fair. And my insurance policy is for 12,000 miles a year. I think I've driven 100 miles this year, because I've got like, other than going to the shops to pick up,
yeah,
you know, that's it. I'm not going anywhere.
Yeah, but then again, remember that that all new builds have to have EV charging ports, so they're starting to make that move towards it.
And I think that actually the other thing to think about there, especially in terms of home charging, is, you know, as green energy becomes, you know, more and more available, you know, whether that's solar panels or any other method, you know, if we are generating cleaner excess energy in our own homes, you know, when there is going to be less of a stress then on the national grid, then actually maybe, you know, private ownership can continue quite happily. But, you know, we've solved that problem of, you know, having every single car in the country plugged in overnight. I think there's something definitely to be said about smart energy and smart energy metering in the future, definitely. Now, to pick up on another thing that Pete was saying there, in terms of, again, challenging something that has a piece of technology that's remained unchanged for so many years, is of course the humble door lock. You know, we lock our cars electronically, but something about locking our homes doesn't seem to fit right with the consumer, does it?
I don't know. I feel like it's such a tactile thing, and cars have been around less long than houses.
This is true.
So I feel like we've gotten really, like, that locking that front door on your way out, you can remember that you've physically put that key in and you've turned it, whereas just press going beep beep on the house, I would be checking that at least 5 times before I could leave. Yeah. I'd be like, oh, I just want to check one more time. Oh yeah, no, but did I actually lock it?
And that's so curious, because I mean, I know sometimes, you know, if people will lock their cars, they'll just pull the door handle quickly just to check that it's locked. But, you know, more or less, people kind of don't really think about it. Now, of course, you know, there's the kind of thing that if someone gets into your car, unless they're going to steal the car itself, which they might be able to do, there's usually not that much in the car worth stealing. Maybe a car radio. I mean, if cars even have car radios that you can steal these days, or, you know, whatever you've kept in the glove compartment, like there's usually not a huge amount. But of course, if the technology goes wrong or you forget to do it on your own front door, then that's your whole home that's at risk, isn't it?
I mean, not even your whole home. I mean, we're both dog owners. If my Harley dog goes missing because I forgot to lock the door properly, there will be hell to pay.
Well, what if we use, for example, like geofencing of our devices? Is if there's no one in the home, we go out and we leave the house, and if we forget to lock the door, then it just locks for us automatically. You know, it's something less to worry about. It knows that we can step outside of a perimeter and it locks the door for us, you know, locks the windows, shuts the windows. You know, all this technology, realistically, it's there now. But yet somehow the consumer, like, especially in the UK market, doesn't quite feel comfortable with it yet.
I mean, hypothetically, like, we're talking about it now and I'm like, oh yeah, that'd be great, not having to worry that I've left my keys in the door on the outside of the house would be great. But in practice, if you gave it to me and you were like, here you go, you don't have to lock the door, I'd be like, no, let me lock my door. Let me do this physically. It's just it's a safety mechanism, isn't it?
Yeah, I think you're totally right. And I wonder if maybe then in terms of, you know, product designers that are looking at smart locks and securing homes in the future, actually, okay, all right, it might do it automatically, but you know what, if you include a nice little, you know, drop your key in anyway and it'll just beep just to say it's locked, don't worry, or you know, bit of clever product design, actually I think you begin to quell some of those worries, especially if, you know, the person does forget to do it and they come back. I mean, like, for example, nobody questions it about hotel rooms.
True.
You know, you go, you take every important document, you know, as well as cash, as well as electronics, and you trust a key card. That's it.
I'm just thinking about if you could get that beep and you could do something like in sat navs where you could have someone's voice be like, have a nice day when you leave. Mm-hmm. How lovely would that, or welcome home. Oh,
splendid. And of course, like we say, the technology's there. It's just waiting to be used or waiting to be put into practice. Now, just finally, while we cover off the last of what Pete brought up there, I think that the question of using technology and smart home technology as a means of communication, I think, is something really important, especially this year. You know, a lot of us are, of course, maybe not so much at the moment, but, you know, certainly earlier this year, the isolation of, you know, whether or not that's the elderly or the vulnerable people shielding, a lot of people are going to be at home. If not on their own, then certainly not seeing family this Christmas. Theoretically, smart home technology can be utilized to keep people connected, right?
Yeah, I know one of my friends bought his mum one of the Facebook portals when she moved out of the area that they'd grown up in, and he was staying, he'd been with his mum for a really long time, and it means that they finally, like, even though she's on the other side of the country now, they can still have a chat and they can still talk kind of like normal. Using these kind of devices, Zoom, Hangouts, then getting all of that up on your Echo Show, all of that kind of stuff, just lets you feel a little bit closer to those that you can't physically touch.
Yeah, absolutely. And I have to say, from a marketing point of view, what I thought was really interesting is that the Facebook portal marketing slogan that they've gone with for their sort of Christmas campaign is, if you can't be there, feel there, which I actually think is it speaks to a lot of people that actually, okay, if you can't, like you say, if you can't, you know, go and visit your family, then actually just to feel like you're in the room, just to feel like that kind of, you have those natural conversations where it doesn't feel forced, you know, it's a very kind of relaxed atmosphere, is a really nice, and I have to say, you know, hats off to Facebook here a little bit, because it feels like one of the first time we've seen a proper marketing message from a new smart home kind of market entry that is focused on the consumer, the solution, not selling it as a piece of technology.
Yeah, I mean, tech is great for being amazing, shiny and new, but there's also so much to be said for what tech can do for the community. Mm. Think of how easy it is to just check on a member of your family, especially if they're perhaps living alone or you've got elderly relatives. If something's gone wrong, then I know pretty much instantly. There's a lot to be said for how tech can help not only foster communities, but just, you know, keep a sense of community alive in a time where, don't want to say community is fading because we're all still pulling together, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I completely agree with you. And I think that actually leads so nicely on to a message from Caroline Lawrenson from TL Tech. Now, we spoke to Caroline from TL Tech earlier this year with a particular focus. They were just about to launch their new Alexa skill called Kindspace, which aims to track and improve the well-being of its users with an Alexa skill. It's a way to monitor everything from well-being indicators to medication, and also to make sure that you're really utilizing the voice assistant to keep tracks on the people that you love. So we are going to have a lovely message here from Caroline. So Caroline, over to you.
2020 has seen us all spending a lot more time at home. Technology has had a huge influence on our ability to be able to wait out the pandemic. We can work from home, shop from home, watch a movie, visit the doctor, or even do a yoga class. For many, it has opened our minds and hearts to what is possible. There is a huge opportunity to redefine the role of the smart home, showing how it can offer support to enhance well-being and bring families closer. We believe very passionately that smart homes should be accessible to all regardless of age, technical ability or finances. We have two predictions for the smart home in 2021. The first is that the big tech companies will be doing more to make sure that their products and services are built with inclusion at their heart, because ultimately it improves the customer experience for everyone. A strong area of growth is in well-being related technology solutions, including home monitoring of health conditions using wearables and home sensors. So our second prediction is an increase in the use of voice interfaces for recording and tracking well-being data, like our Kindspace Amazon Alexa voice skill that monitors well-being and offers supporting advice.
And our thanks to Caroline for sending us that message. And we were, of course, delighted to see that their Alexa skill, Kindspace, which they actually crowdfunded from the smart home and engineering and technology communities, was launched earlier this year to rave reviews. And we are certainly looking forward to hearing more from them in the future. Now, I think there's some really interesting points that Caroline raised there. And the first one, I think, that would be really interesting to chat about, Ruthie, is that question of availability of smart home technology. I think we are beginning to see that kind of mass market adoption. You know, how do you kind of get the sense, you know, of how the market's progressing at the moment? And do you think that people are coming round to the smart home technology and it's more available to people?
I think not just more adoption, because I'm sure everyone had a smart speaker as soon as kind of smart speakers became a thing, because they were a gadget and they were cool. Like, I still have my original Echo Dot, which was from, like, she's either first or second gen. And everyone kind of adopted them, didn't really know what to do with them other than to get it to play Spotify or Apple Music or other services are available. And then just kind of didn't really do any, or maybe set a timer, maybe set the odd timer, but then you don't really do anything else with it. And then you kind of, if you're not massively into tech, or if you're just kind of sitting on the edges, you don't realize that there's all these extra solutions that are becoming available. And I think we've now that people have been home for, what are we on, 9-10 months now that people have been thinking about how they want to improve their home, and you think, well, actually, I would really like just to be able to say that I'm starting work now, and so the lights change in my room, a Spotify playlist comes on, my diffuser goes off because I like having a certain smell in the morning. Like, kind of getting all of that, making it easier for people to kind of transition from home and work, or school and home, you know, depends on what you've got. But I think we're now reaching that point where people are more interested in, you know, taking the next step to improve their home. And that often comes once you, there's only so many times you can paint your living room, right? So I think we're now reaching that point where people are going, well, now what's the next step if I'm going to keep improving this place? It's because you're giving yourself back the gift of time. Even if you're only saving those 2 seconds while you turn on a light switch, but having it all done while your light switch comes on, playlist comes on, computer switches on, just by all at the same time, just by using your voice, you've given yourself back a good minute. And it's nice. It's a nice feeling.
Definitely. And do you think that a wider group of people are beginning to see those benefits? You know, especially now, obviously, schools are at home, and but, you know, especially, you know, every generation, and to a certain degree, you know, people from different socioeconomic backgrounds are beginning to actually understand that this technology is not just here, but it's here to stay. And it's kind of useful, you know, especially in what I would dare to say, and I hate to use the words, the new normal.
Why do you do this?
I can't help it. I'm just a bag of cliches.
Yeah, and I also think, you know, my dad is definitely the techie one in my house, in my parents' household. And my mum probably never used the smart speaker, but now she's stuck at home with him all the time. She's learning how exciting the smart speaker can be. And, like, I think that's probably what's happening in a lot of households. You have that one really technological, like, someone who is obsessed with tech, and then they're kind of, now you're having to spend way more time with them. You're seeing what they've already done, and you're going, oh, well, maybe I'll try that. Maybe I'll try that out. And I think also, if it's not in your household, you're talking to someone.
Something that we as marketers have to consider a little bit here as well is that actually the greatest tool, especially in the smart home market, is the power of recommendation.
I will always, always buy something if someone has told me, if I need it. If I'm in the market for a new razor, and my friend goes, try this new brand, they're fab, I'll be like, cool, I don't know where else to get started. There's so many options on the market for everything. But if one of my friends tells me that they use it and that it's great, I know that it's great. I don't care what the reviews say, because the reviews could be paid for. It could be one bad experience, or it could be, you know, the same copy and paste job that someone that they've paid for. But having someone that I know and I trust go, oh no, I tried that thing and it's fab, makes me go, yeah, no, sure. If I'm next in the market for that, or if I need that now, that's the one that I'm going to go for, because I know that if two people recommend me different things, I'm stuck again.
And I think that this comes from, the whole marketing trend in terms of like brand authenticity and everything like that. Actually, I think that, do you know what, like you say, okay, even if a product, for example, is more expensive, even if, you know, the delivery time is longer, for example, if a friend has said, yeah, that's the one I use, love them, really rate them, really recommend them, by the way, here's a discount code as well.
That,
you know,
don't get
makes
me started on those discount
codes. But no, I think, you know, in terms of our generation, you know, those that are under, well, certainly under 35, you know, that means a hell of a lot. These days. And I think that especially looking at how smart home technology is being taken up by everyone, I think that lowering that price point and lowering that entry point for this technology, you know, as Caroline says, it can make such a difference, because of course it has so many uses. And the more you have people using this technology, the more solutions you're bound to discover with it as well. I think that that is something I'm certainly hoping to see in 2021, is making the more people obviously use this technology and understand it is great, but also there is still a considerable skills and education gap.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much I don't know how, like, I mean, I've had smart speakers and smart plugs in my life for at least 3 years now, and there's things that I don't know how to do with them. And it's just, you don't realize the kind of potential that they all have in and of themselves. There's definitely a lot to be said for a big education piece within the industry, just to be able to for consumers to say, look, we know you have a smart speaker because you do, because you bought one when they first came out and it sat in a box and it knows how to put on Spotify, but did you know it also knows how to do all these other things? And this is how you can do it. Think smartphones. Only a handful of people had a smartphone. And then everyone realized what a smartphone can do, and now everyone has a smartphone. So I think there's just that education gap that we just need to bridge. And once it's bridged, smart home is going to look completely different to what we can even think about it is today.
Absolutely. And I think almost just like I think we said on the podcast earlier this year, just as the smartphone became the phone, so till the smart home just become the home, the new standard. It's what you expect your home to be able to do. Well, that brings us quite nicely to the end of part one of our festive look back and look forward in terms of all things smart home. But don't worry, there is more. The next episode is coming out tomorrow morning, so we hope you'll join us then. But for now, thank you very much for listening to the Smart Life podcast.